The wolves are showing their faces and trying to cause division even among believers. How must the body respond? We will discuss it.
Less than 2 weeks after his historic victory, and less than 7 weeks before he takes office, Zoran Mamdani is already chipping away at his ambitious list of campaign promises.
The sun may have set over our city this evening. A new era of leadership. Or as we say on Steinway, anaminkum wa ilaykum.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael. Brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, the ministry founded by Jan Markell. In our program, Pastor Josh and Ken talk to Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. The truth of the scriptures is being questioned, and Islam seems to be influencing the culture. Are we witnessing the rise of the last days apostasy? In the extended version, Pastor Josh and Ken continue the conversation with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You won't want to miss it. You can find the extended version ad-free on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels.
Do you think maybe we've run out the clock? Is it possible that we had the chance and that chance now has expired? You say, well, Jack, God would never do that. Might I remind you of a place called Nineveh? Or might I remind you of a man by the name of Noah, who God at a certain time prescribed, shut the door to the ark and the great judgment came. Could the United States be in the opening throes of judgment? I believe we are. And I think the very ones who attacked us in 2001 on September 11th, they're the ones advancing. They're the ones that are increasing. And you're going to see more and more celebrations and or exhibits of how Islam is probably becoming the new religion of America. Because Christians, they don't get involved, remember? Christians don't get involved in politics. And so we may very well now come to the time, which may be now, to begin to reap that which we have sown.
This is Understanding the Times, the program founded by Jan Markell. I'm Ken Michael, along with Pastor Josh Schwartz. Well, there's no doubt there's a lot going on in the country and around the world with the recent elections and the violence and lawlessness that we're seeing nationwide since the elections. We're going to get to the bottom of this with our guest today. He's a frequent guest on our program. He's also been a guest speaker at Jan Markell's Understanding the Times conference. He has a new book that's available on our online store at olivetreeviews.org. Called to Take a Bold Stand. You can find him at Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We'd like to welcome back to the program from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Senior Pastor Jack Hibbs. Jack, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So we want to get into your book, but first let's start out with what you were talking about in that video. I can tell you from experience, I was just conferencing in the UK, Germany. They are ready to explode over there. I just got back in September. And they have had major protests. They were warning us, hey, you guys better be ready. This is coming to America. And I told them, it's already here. Give us your take on what's going on with this red-green alliance. We're seeing Islam partnering up with communism. And then, of course, the woke agenda, the DEI crowd, the LGBTQ crowd. And it's all coming together. And we're witnessing it now here in the States.
First of all, you mentioned, Ken, something very important, and that is the Red-Green Alliance. I actually see it different, and maybe it's because I see it in California. We're missing a color. It's not the Red-Green Alliance in California. In California, it's the Red, Green, and Blue Alliance. The red and the green, the socialist and the Marxist, and the pro or the Islamicist have found a home in California in the Democrat Party. There are more by far of the red and green politicians in the blue party. There's a couple of infiltrators into the red, that is the Republican Party. But you guys, they're beating us at our own game. They have come into an open borders culture. I mean that America is open and we have a constitution that allows people to have the right to worship or not. And they're taking our Judeo-Christian worldview values. And because we're not defending them, they are coming in right now, and they're swearing an oath as they're elected to office Mandani, for example, he's going to swear on his Quran and he's going to recite the oath to office to uphold the Constitution of the United States. But everybody, you need to understand something, that Islam and Sharia are designed in such a way by Satan to destroy the U.S. Constitution. They're mutually exclusive. And yet, since that Tuesday election, we have now 47 Muslims elected to office in the United States. And why is this happening? Because Christians refuse to get involved.
We're experiencing that here in Minneapolis. I experienced it in law enforcement some 35 years ago when the Somali community came into town. Yeah. And we're mixing up this cultural diversity where you have ethnicity moving in, which is fine. We welcome all that are from all ethnic backgrounds and they assimilate to our culture. But Islam, like Jack said, demands that you assimilate to their culture. And I've had Muslims tell me flat out right to my face, you are going to come under the Sharia law here very soon. Yeah.
And there is a new Barna study, new stats that came out just recently. They surveyed 1,000 regular churchgoers. That means they've gone to church at least once in the last month. And this is what they found, that a small plurality of regularly churched adults, that's 34%, only consider themselves conservative on fiscal and social issues. While nearly as many, that's 29%, consider themselves moderate and 19% consider themselves liberal. So what we've seen, even in the last 2 years from these survey results is this, there is a socializing of the politics, even in the church. People are becoming more and more moderate. And of course, that's what we're seeing. And everything that we've seen with the elections this year with Mamdani and the others that you've noticed. So Jack, what is the solution to that? Can we as the church do anything to bring back true biblical roots to people?
Imagine this for a moment, you guys. If every local church decided to do a self-audit of itself against the gold standard, which is the Bible, are we a New Testament church? So going back to the first century, and you look at the biblical church and matching our 21st century belief, our conduct, our vision, our expenditures against the scriptures and reevaluate, then we can correct course. This is what has to happen. We have to correct the course because it's not working. The course that we're on is carnal. It's not working. We've been sowing to the wind and now we're reaping the whirlwind, as Jeremiah said. We have now gotten our trash can and dustpan to try to pick up the pieces of decades long waste of trying to create a seeker friendly Christian culture whereby people can go to church without even knowing they're in church. Think about that.
Yeah.
People can go to church, but it'd only be like 59 minutes. And the seeker friendly world. Yeah, let's do that. And let's get tens of thousands of people going to a church and we'll sway the culture by sheer numbers. And it turns out that the purpose-driven life that is based upon 5 steps to be happy or 7 steps on how to be wealthy, it's not the gospel. It doesn't work. And so I say this with the finger pointing at myself, look around and ask yourself, in a post-Christian culture that the United States is in right now, what good did the mega church movement produce? If we had mega churches, why didn't we have mega reform? Why didn't we have mega morality, mega righteousness, mega Christ values America? We do not. We have a remnant that is trying to hold back the dam from busting because, as an example, the former terrorist who went around beheading people took off his military garb and put on a suit, Armani suit with a tie, and became the president of Syria. And now Trump just had him at the White House. And Trump called him a good guy. And when the reporters asked him, hey, aren't you the guy that used to slaughter people? And he said, oh, gosh, that's when I was young.
Right.
That was his answer. And the West is so dumb and the church is so lacking discernment that they do not realize that one of the tactics of Islam is hudna and taqiyya. And putting those two things together, it's happening right now. If there's any Muslims watching this program, they're going, oh, my gosh, that guy just revealed some of our secrets. The West is a sucker for us saying to them, hey, we come in peace. Man, we just love this country. What they mean by love is we love that this country is so easy to take because you guys are so distracted by toys and things that while you're distracted, we're going to take your school board. we're going to run for office and become your mayors and your city council. And then we're going to establish soft and then ever increasing elements of Sharia. We are going to start out with the call to prayer going off in your community. And you can't say a thing about it because the majority on the city council is Muslim. It's an invasion. It's going to come. And the only thing that we can do is prepare our kids, give them in that self-reformation as we examine ourselves as a church, make sure that you start immediately in your audit adding this, that you're going to start teaching your kids at the youngest of ages at your church and in your home, Judeo-Christian biblical apologetics. Ask your kids, who's Jesus? What makes him different from all the other Jesuses of the cults? Your kid at the age of 5 should know that answer.
You're right on, Jack. What we're seeing didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just happen nationally. You're right. It happens locally. And I always tell people, when you have 3 million Christians that didn't vote, and then now you look at your school board, you look at your city council, you look at your mayors, what did you expect was going to happen? And Minneapolis, we witnessed this firsthand. We have Ilhan Omar as one of our congresspeople. But if you look at the local government, this cult, if you want to call it, that's what I'm going to call it, has spread throughout the Twin Cities and into the suburbs. And now we're wondering, how did this happen? So you hit it right on the head, Jack. So you guys are doing things during the election season that I think every church in the country should do. Just briefly tell us what you guys do during the election season.
We've been doing it, by the way, for almost 36 years. Granted, at the start, we were the only ones. And then more and more over the years, churches have caught on. And what is that? Every Sunday here at church, 52 weeks a year, you can register to vote. You can do that. If every church had a table where you could go out to that table and register to vote, things would start to change because I'm convinced of this. God is so good that if we inform people, you should be voting because it is a Christian issue of stewardship. God gave you this talent, 5 talents, so to speak, or this light. And what are you going to do with it? I'll be back later, but you invest that. And when I come back, I want you to show me what you did with it. If you take the 5 and you do righteousness with it and you earn 5 more, you have 10. Or if you take the lamp or the torch and you shine it into a dark place, then evil runs. If you fail to do those things, then you sit on the opportunity that God gave you. That's called disobedience. And that is also referred to by Jesus as an unprofitable servant. Or you take the light and you hide it under a basket and you extinguish the light God gave you. Every Christian has been given an opportunity. And in this republic that God gave us, it is to vote. Woe unto the Christian who says, I don't believe my vote counts. I don't believe my vote matters. It's so corrupt. I don't get involved in politics because my pastor said that we shouldn't do that. We are of the kingdom of God. Listen, that is absolute insanity. I do not see that anywhere in the Bible because every book of the Bible, every book in some way, shape, or form deals with the believer interacting with a political kingdom or power or culture that is opposed to the kingdom of God. That's why you have a Bible.
Amen.
And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they stood up against politics. And the politics was bow down and say, in this state, Newsom is Lord. Say it. And if you don't say it, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Folks, that's politics. You can't escape it. So when a pastor says, well, we don't get involved in politics, I know right then and there, that is a church I will never encourage people to go to because it is an irrelevant church. It is a dead church. The Spirit of God is not there because that church is not advancing. It's playing it safe and it's trying to run out the clock, not knowing that the enemy is scoring all the time that they have their eyes buried in a hole of delusion. We have got to stand for righteousness, and by that, the world will hate us. I wonder how many pastors and churches are hated by the right people. Think of that.
Right. And I think that's the call to the Christian, right? To, as we have the opportunity, continue to assault the kingdom of darkness and bring forth the light of the good news of the gospel. And what's mind-blowing to me, Jack, is when pastors say, church members say, well, I can't get involved in politics because that's just not my role. The reality is political issues are becoming moral issues and moral issues are biblical, and we must be salt and light in a dark and dying community.
So that's going to transition into the next clip I want you to listen to, Jack, because we're seeing this huge divide, not only in the country politically, but in the church. You've got the left fighting with each other, but now you have the right fighting with each other. People that call themselves Christians now are arguing, and you'll know the main topic which they're going to argue over here after you listen to this. I'll get your take on it.
Tucker Carlson also said in his interview with Nick Fuentes that the people he hates most in the entire world, more than ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Trans-Tifa, Marxists, rapists, murderers, are Christian Zionists. According to Tucker Carlson, who admits that he first read the Bible all the way through just 2 years ago, Christians who support a Jewish state of Israel are heretics and blasphemers with a brain virus.
I mean, all people I know personally who I've seen be seized by this brain virus, and they're not Jewish. Most of them are self-described Christians. And then the Christian Zionists who are, well, Christian Zionists. Like, what is that?
Right.
And I could just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody. Because, like, what? Because it's Christian heresy, and I'm offended by that as a Christian.
You realize that you have a senator that is sitting across saying that his number one reason, he didn't say one of the reasons, he said, my number one reason that I support Israel is because the Bible commands me to do so. And just so you know, the Bible does not command, and this is what Tucker Carlson is getting to in that clip, it absolutely does not command you to support the modern state of Israel, despite the fact that it is very much involved in what can only be described as demonic behavior since its creation, right?
You're listening to Understanding the Times, the program founded by Jan Markell. Today we have as a special guest, Pastor Jack Hibbs. You can find Pastor Jack's newest book called To Take a Bold Stand on our online store at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Pastor Jack, in that clip, you heard some heartbreaking things from people who are calling themselves Christians, followers of Jesus. Is this destructive? What is happening here?
I don't know if you guys are going to like my response, but I am not shaken, moved, or even affected by Fuentes, by Carlson, or by Candace's remarks. You want to know why? I actually do not take them seriously because they are so biblically wrong. These poor people are so out of their lane that they don't even realize that God in the Bible calls himself a Zionist. God says, I'm going to establish my throne in the future, not in Palestine, by the way, in Israel. By the way, Candace, Nick, and Tucker, can you find the word Palestine in your Bible? You guys are so brilliant at what you profess to know. Why don't you produce the word Palestine in your Bible? And also this, that when Jesus returns, the Bible says Jesus returns to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he says he has a throne that he will establish in Zion. God says this in the Bible. Throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, the word of God announces to us that God is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this planet, and his throne will be established atop Moriah, and atop Moriah will be Zion. It is there to this day, and you can know about it. They don't even know that, but they've got a big microphone, and here's the punchline, you guys. Churches that do not teach the Old Testament have no authority when they teach the new. Because here's my test. If you read the New Testament only, how do you know it's true? For example, Candace, you're examining Ted Cruz. Okay, let us examine you. How do you know the New Testament's true? The answer is you don't know. You assume it's true. The only way that you can know the New Testament's true is if you go back to the Old Testament to see if everything that's prophesied, and by the way, none of those three people know anything about Bible prophecy. They don't study the Old Testament to find out that what's recorded in the New was fulfilled. This was promised, and this is the record of the promises being fulfilled. God didn't give us half a Bible. He gave us from Genesis to Revelation. And you've got these people, they're saying things, and they're drawing people away to themselves. Doesn't that ring true? Didn't the Bible tell us in the last days, people are going to come deceiving because they are propagating a doctrine that is false by doctrines of demons and false spirits that will lead many astray. Guys, I know this sounds crazy, but it's 100% true. The Bible says in the last days, many will fall away. Tucker Carlson, Fuentes, and Candace Owens and others like them, DEI pastors, woke pastors and churches, those guys are nothing but a disposal bin where garbage is going to, because these people who are flocking to these new cult leaders, they don't want anything to do with what biblical reality is. They forget that Jesus is a Jew. Somehow they have forgotten that. They forget that he's coming back in the second coming to the nation of Israel. They forget that Jesus prophesied, as did Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, that in the last days, when Israel comes back into their own land and becomes a nation again, oh yes, Candace, hello, Tucker, they'll become a nation again in the last days. Isaiah chapter 66 says, in one day, they'll become a nation again.
Amen.
And they will come back into the land in unbelief. They will not believe until the Ezekiel 38 battle. Read it again. They will be unbelieving in Jehovah, Yahweh, until he rescues them in the Ezekiel 38 battle. In Ezekiel 38, it says, and then they will see that I am the Lord, and they will once again be my people. But before that, the scripture says he's going to draw them back into the land and make them a nation again. And Tucker doesn't know that. Yeah. He looks like a total fool as he spouts off that his most disgusting people on the planet are Zionist Christians.
We're blessed enough to be witnesses to that.
Exactly. Listen, according to the Bible, if you're not a Zionist, I don't see how you can be a Christian, because Jesus is going to rule and reign in Zion.
Amen. Exactly. And the two dividing factors, obviously, are Israel. And then recently, especially amongst young people, and they might not even be Christians, is what happened to Charlie Kirk. And I know you were good friends with him. We're seeing a huge split. So what should pastors be doing? I've heard pastors say that when they brought up Charlie Kirk, people got up and walked out of their church. What can pastors do and say to their congregation about what's happening right now? We've got this assassination, violence, and lawlessness culture brewing right under our feet.
If somebody walks out of your church because you're speaking truth, you should give them a gift basket on the way out, because they saved you a lot of grief. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they'll follow me, and a stranger they will not listen to. So if you're teaching the word of God, pastor, you don't have to worry about the numbers that are filling your pews. If you're giving the true word of God, Jesus is going to speak to his sheep, no matter how far they might have to drive. Believe me, they will drive. Okay, where we're at, Ken, you know this. People drive every Sunday from San Diego to Santa Barbara, folks. That's nearly 160 miles of distance to come to a church where they expect to hear biblical truth, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, as it relates to their daily life. Well, pastor, aren't you afraid of people not coming? No, I'm not afraid, because if I give the truth, in fact, Billy Graham put it this way, beautiful. Billy Graham said that when I preach the gospel in a crusade, everyone's going to make a decision. He said, I'm not responsible for the decision they make. I'm just supposed to bring them to the hour of decision. When they make a decision, some will say yes and some will say no. I'm not responsible for the decision they make. Pastor, teach the word of God as though you're speaking to God, regurgitating his word back to him. That's how true it's got to be. And then have the congregation almost be peripheral to you. Let him speak to his people. Pastor, at best, and I know I'm going to get notes on this. Actually, I want to remind you that this is Understand the Times, and you can write all correspondence to Pastor Josh and Ken, because I'm saying to you right now, if you hold forth the word of truth, God will respond by bringing his people into that congregation. And pastor, stick to the truth. And if people leave, they were never followers of Jesus in the first place, so long as you're teaching the truth. This is critical. We've got to get back to the Bible verse by verse, let it speak for itself. And you and I, pastor, at best, here's the punch. You and I at best are sheepdogs.
Amen.
We're sheepdogs. He's the shepherd. Those are his people. And we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves to the protection of the flock, even if we throw ourselves into the jaws of a wolf. That's what we're called to do, to protect them. We do that by giving them the Bible.
Well, Pastor Jack, time is failing us, but if you want to continue on this conversation, we have our extended version. You can find it on all of our social media, YouTube, and ad-free on our website at olivetreeviews.org. Pastor Jack, thank you so much for this first half. I can't wait to continue it in a second.
Thank you, guys.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Make sure you visit our web store at olivetreeviews.org to purchase Pastor Jack's new book and workbook, Call to Take a Bold Stand. Tune in to the extended version of this week's program on our website, ad-free, at olivetreeviews.org or on our YouTube and Rumble channels. The Christian must stand firm and not be shaken by the widespread deception, even among cultural influencers. Trust the Word and the God of the Word, because everything is falling into place.